This is a supplement.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah.
Got to move it to the bottom.
I'm trying.
I told you that yesterday.
I'm telling Joe we got to move it.
Yeah, well, I feel like I heard that from someone. Then someone else told me. I don't know.
Are you ready?
I was not happy.
It's recorded. There's
Okay, it's 6 o'clock. I'll call this meeting of the Finance and Administration Committee meeting to order. Are there any citizen comments? Any citizen comments? Seeing none, citizen comments are closed. Reports of the chairman. I guess the only thing that I would report is we previously worked on this contracting policy. It went back to the executive committee. It was always handled by the legislative committee previously. We've made some headway, and we're very hopeful that we had a meeting with the administration today to just kind of work out a couple of loose ends, and that something's going to be coming forward very soon. Reports from the committee. Seeing none, we are on to item number five, CABA 2011 fourth quarter loan reports. It is now 6:01.
Good evening, everybody. We have CABA's fourth quarter loan report in front of you. If we flip over to the first page, we've got just a brief summary there of the main updates that happened during the fourth quarter. That first paragraph there is just a quick list of the visits in our business retention and expansion program that we conducted during the quarter. The information that we're gathering in those visits is actually being input into the synchronous software system, which is going to allow us to aggregate data. And actually, I've got a copy of a summary report attached to it that I'm going to get into a little bit more detail in just a moment. But we're now actually populating that system so that we can gather some information on the businesses here in Kenosha County. The next paragraph down, just as a quick note, that we've also seen an increase in inquiries into Kenosha County and available land, buildings that are available for a possible expansion. Nothing that's definitive, but we are seeing an increase in the number of inquiries. And then a quick note down at the next paragraph there that CABA did engage the Lakota Group to do a downtown strategic update. They've actually started their constituent and focus groups. We had one last Thursday, and we had them all in this today for this Thursday. And I believe that next Wednesday on the 22nd, there's going to be a community input meeting at the museum from 7 to 9 so that the Lakota Group can gather some information from the community at large as to what they think should be, what should happen in the downtown area, what kind of plans should be put in place, what's needed, that type of thing. And then at the bottom of that page, just a note there, in the fourth quarter, CABA did approve a loan to CAST LLC for the purchase of a building in downtown, so that building now is no longer leased. It's actually owned by the person running the business in that building. And then subsequent to this report, our finance committee did approve a $125,000 loan to Pacific Sands. Pacific Sand is a company that develops, markets, and sells non-toxic cleaning supplies and water maintenance products. They're actually moving from Racine down to Kenosha. They're going to be taking a vacant spot out on Green Bay Road. I think they're leasing 32,000 square feet. We're helping them with the move and also some purchasing some equipment so that they can expand their operations. And then at the very bottom of that page, just a recap of the loans that we did last year. You can see that we did about almost $5.4 million in financing to eight companies. Last year, we did as much volume as we did in all of 2009 and 2010, so it was a very good year for 2009. Now to flip over, the business retention and expansion summary report, which is a copy of the one that we generated for our board in the fourth quarter. You can see that on the first page there, it's just a general recap of the visit that actually was conducted by Brian in our office. He's our new Director of Economic Development. He's been going out and meeting with businesses to gather their assessment and their impressions of doing business here in Kenosha County. He takes that information, comes back, and drops it into that synchronous system, which I talked about just briefly before. And when he's out there doing those visits, he's also asking them questions about what Cava can do, what the community can do to help them expand and grow their business. And at the end of the result, we're getting these summary reports that gives us a snapshot of what's going on in the county. And as he goes out and does more visits with more companies, this information is going to get fine-tuned and it'll expand and it'll be a better tool for us to look and see where we can address certain issues in the community. The first page there is just really a summary about the businesses he met with and the type of markets they address. You can see that we met mostly with metals and machinery manufacturers and then food manufacturing and how that breaks down within the community. If you flip over to the next page, it talks briefly about the products and the markets that those companies are producing and the markets they serve. And then at the bottom, there's some information that he gathered in regards to the workforce here in the area and the perception that the employers have about our workforce. And then on the last page, it's more of a summary type thing that identifies the strengths and weaknesses and the main barriers that the companies see to be able to grow in our community. And as I said, as we go out and do more visits and that information is dropped into the system, that this information is going to become more robust and we'll have a better picture of what's going on out there. And then I guess he had mentioned to me that to the extent that any of the committee members here might know of businesses that would be willing to participate in our business retention program and surveys, we would definitely like to know that, and that you could call our office and either just call the general line or talk to Brian in our office and schedule something if you know of somebody. They don't have to be a member of CABA. We are actually going out and visiting with all the businesses. We've got a list that we're working our way down, and we would be happy to meet with anybody in the community. And then I'll just get to the part of the report that I produce. The EDA Revolving Loan Fund, you can see there, at the end of the quarter, had a balance of about $263,000 in availability. At the end of the year, there were no commitments outstanding. The next page there for the EDA Revolving Loan Fund shows a list of the borrowers that have current notes. And I'm happy to report that there are no past due items for borrowers on this Revolving Loan Fund. The County Revolving Loan Fund, you can see that there was a balance in the accounts of about $780,000 at the end of the year, of which we still had $353,000 committed for the Wilmont Mountain Project. Subsequent to this report, those funds have been fully dispersed, so we're now closer to that $428,000 balance in that fund. And then on the next page, again, there's a list there of the borrowers that are in that CRLF fund. And I'm happy to report that there are no past due borrowers in that revolving loan fund either. The CKC fund, we have a balance at the end of the quarter of about $1.6 million. And subsequent to this report, we've actually started to disperse that final portion to Wilmont Mountain, that $400,000 that's noted there on that sheet. We've dispersed about $20,000. We've received another disbursement request for them, which is about $200,000. So we're actually making good headway on getting their project fully dispersed. And then again, another list of the borrowers who have loans within the CKC fund, and also no past dues on that revolving loan fund. And then just a note on the high impact fund, I did get a request from somebody to consider that. I'm still waiting for them to send in the information for us to make that determination, but it looks like we'll probably be presenting something to our finance committee within the next couple of weeks for the first activity that we would show on that revolving loan fund, or that high impact fund. That's all I have. I'd be happy to answer any questions that the committee might have.
Are there any questions? Just Supervisor O'Dan.
Not so much a question, but just a comment on that Lakota group.
Yes.
As the KABA was on Facebook today. I think it was today. I picked it up, and they have a monkey survey. It took about 10 minutes to fill out about the downtown area. So anybody can go there to that link and put their own information on that survey. I thought it was a pretty nice thing, and it said about 20 minutes, but it only took about 10.
Yeah, I know that last week on Thursday they had some focus groups for some specific downtown constituents, and I know that they had another round today. People were in and out of the office all day today doing one-on-ones and focus groups to find out what was needed. And I think that process is probably going to go on for about another month or so, and that they're going to end up coming back with some preliminary data, I think, at the end of, I would say, May or beginning of June, with some other, you know, recommendations. But I do know, I think I can confirm for the committee that next Wednesday night is like an open forum for the community at large for people to come and voice what they think, you know, should happen in the downtown. And I think I mentioned it's at the museum.
Supervisor Gantz.
Move to receive and file.
Been moved by Supervisor Gantz. Move and receive. Second by Supervisor Ekernis. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Agenda item number 6. It is 611 from the Corporation Counsel's Office. Ordinance to repeal and recreate section 3.645 of the Municipal Code of Kenosha County, retention and destruction of records. Is he supposed to be here?
I don't know if Bernie was supposed to be here or not. Okay. I worked with him on it. He had a question in my department, and as court counsel researched that question about how to handle the disposition of certain records, he reviewed this and saw that there was an update in the law and thought that, or he recommended that we adopt this resolution to bring Kenosha County up to date with the law. So this makes it more efficient with regard to our record retention process. For example, it streamlines the process regarding contact with the Historical Society about whether or not we can dispose of a record. It also permits us to dispose of records in accord with the schedule that's shown by law. So really, this is a perfunctory act that brings us up to date with the new law that was adopted in 2010. There's a little more of a description that Bernie did on the administrative proposal that we're able to see in the back.
What does the S mean in that retention period? Supervisor Gantz.
I think it would be important for him to come with just that summary. So I'm just going to voice my opinion. I mean, the committee might have questions that he created and he looked into the research, and somebody should be here from that department.
Supervisor Rolls.
What's current law or policy on this issue?
I understand this to be the current law, so this would update us. In talking to Bernie, we need to adopt this in order to be able to legally dispose of records.
We do have a law that says you can dispose of them, or we don't have a law?
In the past, the thing that governed us was state law. That's my understanding. Mm-hmm. And the guidance was determined by state law, but this new law gives counties the option of adopting the new law the way it's laid out in this policy. And if we do that, then we get to take advantage of the efficiencies that the new law provides.
So how does this, but specifically, how does this differ from the old law?
Instead of having to present everything to a historical society, and it was really getting to be a nuisance to the state historical society every time you had a record, it streamlines that and makes it more efficient. You can make an informal contact with them and destroy the law. It has a more detailed guideline that the old law didn't have that talks about the retention period, which the old law didn't have. It's just an improvement to the old law.
I'd like, before you do that, let me just say a few points here. I think we should have the Corporation Council here to talk about this. At least I don't feel comfortable supporting it necessarily or opposing it here. I understand that the idea of being overwhelmed with records here can be an impossible problem, but I'm also concerned that we don't destroy things which should be, because future generations look back and want to know what the board did. And we've experienced that on the county board ourselves in looking back at historical, at the history of what was or wasn't done on particular points. So I see the definition here, what obsolete means because of age or content, have become useless or non-functional, which are good standards, but how, it's all in the application. I'd like to have a little more discussion about all of that, because I just don't want to see stuff destroyed that we don't know what some future generation will want to take a look at. Say maybe I'll support it, maybe not, but I want to know more about it.
I mean, there's just some abbreviations here as well that I've looked through this whole thing. I don't see any tables. I mean, I think there's questions. I guess you were talking about making a motion to defer until our next meeting. Is that what you were talking about?
I would like to do that, yes.
Okay. It's been moved to postpone this until our next meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
I have a question. Is there a time of the essence issue here that we can't just put it off until our next regular scheduled meeting?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't remember there being something urgent where we had to get adopted.
Is this chart newly created for us? We don't have
one. I thought this was something that came along with the bill.
Okay. So up until now, there's been no identifying specific records and giving.
And maybe Bernie will come in a little later. If you want to leave yourself the option of taking it back up if he does today.
Well, that'd be all right, too.
We always have that option.
So, on deferral, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So, if we could have someone from the Corporation Council here to present this, and then also there are certain abbreviations that are used here that I think should be defined in the table. Okay, agenda item number 7. It is now 6:19 from the Sheriff's Department. Resolution regarding organized crime drug enforcement task force agreement for funding overtime for investigation activities.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Sergeant Urquhart with the KDOG unit. I'm here representing the resolution to accept $20,000 from the Federal Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force to reimburse overtime incurred by the Sheriff's Department Drug Unit, or KDOG, to conduct this OSIDEF investigation. The funding would cover the period of October 2011 through September of 2012. Any funds that were unspent as of the close of 2011 would be carried over to 2012 Sheriff's operating budget.
Supervisor Gaines.
Is this in, didn't we just, was this the exact same thing we had just approved a grant for? Or?
No, I believe the previous one that I presented was a $10,000 grant. This is a different investigation. OSADEFs are case-specific, so this is a different OSADEF investigation we had going.
Supervisor Singer.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Singer, second by Supervisor Gaines. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Resolution carries.
Thank you very much.
It is now 6:20 on agenda item number 8 from the Sheriff's Department, resolution regarding Sheriff's Bomb Squad Equipment Grant 2011.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Sergeant Bill Beth, representing the Bomb Squad Grant. You'll see it before you. Grant has been awarded for $1,300 to purchase equipment for the Department Bomb Squad. That money will be used to buy a sighting system for the robot, a breaching kit, and a telescopic manipulator arm for use by 10 members. Requires no match and no increase to the rate.
Move to approve.
Second. Then moved by Supervisor Gaines, second by Supervisor O'Day. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Resolution carries. Thank you. Okay, it is now 6:21, agenda item number 10 from Human Services, resolution to convert a Division of Workforce Development Fraud Specialist position to an Economic Support Specialist position. Mike, no.
Oh,
I jumped ahead. Sorry. We'll go to 9.
All right.
I'm really trying to move this meeting along. Agenda item 9 is 6:22. Human Services, resolution to modify the budget of the Department of Human Services Division of Child and Family Services or in-home safety services grant.
Right. Well, good evening, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Thank you, committee members. I'll try to be as brief as everyone is before me. In the fall of 2011, the Division of Children and Family Services applied for an in-home safety services grant. It is to work with children who have been victims of abuse and neglect and who would normally be placed in foster care to keep them physically safe from abuse and neglect. We, Kenosha prides itself on keeping kids safe and not having kids re-maltreated. But when we looked at our number of kids in foster care, we felt that we could safely keep some of those kids home with their parents with intensive in-home safety services. The state was putting forth a grant in which we could improve our in-home safety services, and we chose to improve two of our contracted services, our from Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, which runs our family preservation program, and professional services group, which runs an intensive aftercare reunification program, which we use often for safety monitoring. We received the grant. We were one of four sites to receive it. It's for $200,000 plus we have $240,000 with an extra $8,000 in Medicaid resources we think will bring to bear with this. It's a 2-year grant. And we have the support of Judge Kirkman, District Attorney Robert Saff, and Court Commissioner John Mason. We are hoping to get it up and running in March. I'd be happy to answer any questions about the program.
First of all, you mentioned a client of mine who is going to be receiving this grant. I'm certainly willing to pass the gavel. I will abstain on this, or I can run the meeting. What's the desire of the committee?
You can, in my opinion, you can run the meeting, but abstain.
Okay. Supervisor Gaines?
I just had a question. Is this going to be monitored? When we come back after a year or so, I mean, what I don't want to see, and I thought about this between the last meeting and this one, is by leaving them in the home, could we do more harm in certain cases than not? I understand what's behind it, but, you know, I mean, I also don't want to leave somebody there who you know, falls through the cracks and we have a problem with.
Well, that's a good question. We don't, really, kids don't fall through the cracks. All of the county social work staff have been thoroughly trained in safety assessment and safety planning. We're going to bring the same training to all of the
private vendors that will be helping do the in-home safety services. Each client that would be in this program would have a very intensive and very structured in-home safety plan, which will clearly delineate who's going to see who on what days and check on these kids. This won't impact every child that we touch. There are many cases that kids will still end up in foster care because that's the safest place for them because of the level of abuse. But every year, we become court involved with roughly 95 to 100 families because of abuse and neglect. And we go into juvenile court and get orders of placement usually, and then parents work actively to improve conditions so those children can be returned home safely. The vast number of those kids are returned home safely, and they don't come back in the door. We are very successful. We don't have a lot of re-maltreatment of children who have been in the system. Well, there's certain odd categories that repeat. Mothers, for example, who give birth to drug-positive children, who 5 years later get pregnant again with other drug-positive children. On cases like that, we move to terminate parental rights, and those kids find safe adoptive homes. We'd be selecting families where there is where we believe we can safely maintain these children in the home, and the very high-risk cases where you can't do that, when you go through a safety assessment, you reach a different conclusion. You reach a conclusion that the safest place is foster care. So out of, let's say, 100 families in a year, we're thinking we can serve probably 35 with this grant. And these would still be under the jurisdiction of juvenile court, still be under our supervision through juvenile court.
Anybody else? Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Moved by Supervisor Singer, seconded by Supervisor O'Day. Everybody's sleeping here tonight. any discussion?
Just a comment. Maybe 6 months later, after this really gets hit the ground, we can have those agencies come into the Human Services Board.
Yes.
And give an update as to how it's kind of shaken out, and then the committee too, possibly.
We'd be happy to do that. Yeah. We won't get this up and running until after it's been approved by the county board and what's up, but 6 to 8 months into the program, be happy to do that.
Thank you.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The chairman abstains. Resolution carries.
Who is the motion again, please?
Dave.
Dave and Shaheen. Should I mark abstain?
Yes.
I think he'll still sign, right?
Yep. Okay, I think we are now on item 10. It is 6:28 from the Human Services Committee. Resolution to convert a Division of Workforce Development Fraud Specialist position to an Economic Support Specialist position.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and committee members. The resolution that I have is to convert an existing position that is called a Fraud Specialist position to an Economic Support Specialist position. As many of you know, in the governor's budget this year, they are encouraging partnerships among counties. In January of this year, Kenosha formed a partnership with the city and county to administer income maintenance programs that include food share and medical assistance. For the fraud funding, partnerships are also being encouraged. In fact, there's funding available only to counties who form partnerships. Kenosha has entered into a fraud partnership with 6 other counties that include Racine County, a partnership that's called Partners in Program Integrity. Because we have entered into this partnership for fraud investigations, we no longer have the need for the fraud specialist position to act as a fraud specialist. We would like to use this position for an economic support position instead because we are receiving an additional 4,000 cases this year as a result of the Enrollment Services Center closing down in Madison. And those additional cases will need to be distributed amongst our existing workers. So we thought this would be a better use of this particular position. The funding for this position is income maintenance funds. There's no budgetary impact, and there's no additional levy associated with converting this position. So I'm asking for the approval to convert the fraud specialist position to the economic support specialist.
Supervisor Gans.
I think I asked this question, or somebody did it, at the Human Services Committee, but how many cases do each one of our workers currently handle?
I'll answer it this way. We, because our...
I'll answer it right. No, don't be skirting around.
I won't.
All right.
We, 2 years ago, because our caseloads were so unmanageable, went into what we call a universal caseload. And rather than having individual cases, we have a group of people who handle cases. And so a group of six workers handle about 3,500 cases each. Each team, we have four teams, and they have 3,500 cases each in the teams. And so they work the cases based on date, and they process them as quickly as they can. So we stop the individual cases, and we just pool
them. So six people handle 3,500 cases.
Correct. So an additional 400 divided by 4, they'll be handled.
Yeah, I got the numbers. It concerns me, and I know that we're here to be fiscally responsible and look at how we spend the money, but that could be just an explosion. I mean, I don't know how six people can, and then I'm told things don't fall through the cracks. That's a lot of cases. I don't know. Do you have any plans for how you're going to handle that in the future if this keeps growing? We're getting 4,000 new cases?
Right. We're taking a look at our operations on an almost daily basis, and we come up with a plan for managing these additional 4,000 cases. We're forming yet another group with existing staff and just dividing the cases up as they come in. They're not coming in all at once. They started coming in November, and they'll continue through the end of March. And so they're being phased in about 600 cases per month. And we're just managing this.
I'm just going to go on record that I'm concerned. I mean, that's a lot of cases. It's a lot of cases.
Those are out of Kenosha County or in Kenosha County?
Well, these are our Kenosha County
ours.
Cases.
Okay.
Yes, previously there was an enrollment services center in Madison that handled cases all across the state. And that enrollment services center is being disbanded, and all the cases are sent to the counties of residence. And Kenosha has about 4,000 of those.
So the position that we're reclassifying to this position, is that a grant or levy-funded position?
It is primarily grant-funded, and there is a small amount of levy. I don't recall the exact amount. Perhaps 15%
or 11%. Okay. So, whether it's under a different contract, I presume, and we have the funding available?
Yes, it currently exists in the 2012 budget and is called fraud specialist, but we just want it to do a different function of what we need right now.
Okay.
There are more people managing the caseloads.
Okay. Supervisor Singer.
Yeah, you're saying it's going to more than double your existing caseload.
It won't more than double it.
Because you said it was 3,500 is your caseload.
And we've got four teams.
Oh, okay.
We've got about 16,000 cases at any point in time. So another 4,000 will be added to that.
So another 25%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is done as a cost savings for us? Is that it? Or I mean, the state closed their center so that we could save money, or what was that all about?
I don't know that it's a cost savings for us. It is a cost savings for the state.
So they're shifting their costs onto the county.
They're shifting.
Well, are we receiving any grant dollars for this?
Yes.
And to compensate us for that, or
no? Not to compensate. We're receiving the same amount of money that we were receiving before. With the additional caseloads, we will not get any additional funds. We will receive the same amount of money.
Okay. Now, wouldn't we normally take care of those cases anyway? If this call center, they just enroll them. That's all they do?
No.
So they used to do?
Prior to this year, they managed those cases.
Oh, they would manage
yes.
the cases as
yes.
well.
Mm-hmm.
So we manage some cases, but they, or the majority of the cases, but they manage some of them?
Yes, they managed, the Enrollment Services Center managed the single adult without children cases. That's what these are.
Okay.
I think about 3 years ago, they opened up the Enrollment Services Center and opened up a bunch of cases that were called four under the Badger Care Program.
Mm-hmm.
And so single adults without children who qualified financially could receive medical assistance, but they pay a certain amount per month for this medical assistance. I'm sorry, per year. They pay $60 per year to have this particular type of medical coverage. And so that workload is coming to us, and we'll be collecting those $60 a year premiums and reviewing those cases on an annual basis.
Okay.
All right, previously, these cases were handled by contracted employees, and now they're being
and that's what they closed in, at the state level is
that's
a contract.
They are closing by April 1st. They will close by April 1st. We'll
and how does this impact the consortium that you're quoting here between Racine and Kenosha or partner?
Mm-hmm. We're getting an additional 4,000. Racine is getting about 4,500. So between the two counties, the consortium itself will receive about 8,500 additional cases.
What does the consortium really do, though? I mean, we're still doing our own cases, and they're doing their own cases, right?
Not really.
Okay.
The consortium, under this new plan, any cases that reside in Kenosha or Racine can be handled by Kenosha or Racine. So we have a combined call center mm-hmm. where people can call and report any changes in their situations, and we process the cases. It's a round-robin situation. We have six Kenosha people in the call center. Racine has eight because their results are a little bit higher. And so whoever picks up a call, they answer the questions, they process the case. It matters not whether they live in Kenosha or Racine. And so initially, the 4,000 cases that belong to Kenosha will come back to Kenosha, but in the long run, who works in Kenosha or Racine can process the cases. So it's
$8,500
for the consortium.
Thank you for your explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Supervisor
O'Day? Yeah, just a question on the fraud investigation. Is that going to be handled strictly by Racine? For Kenosha Racine then?
Correct.
So how is Kenosha County going to monitor any results of that? Is that going to be reported to your office?
Yes.
Yes,
there's a referral process. We send our information to them. They do the investigations. They have a couple of one retired police officer, one retired sheriff, deputy sheriff, I should say, who will be doing the investigation, sending the reports back to us, and we will then file them in our records.
You don't feel that at this point in time that going forward the fraud will increase because of less monitoring or anything?
I don't believe so. It's hard to say in this situation, but the important thing is that we will continue to have a fraud program in place, even though we're not doing it ourselves. We'll be making those referrals. We'll be doing some initial background, providing initial background information for the investigators to go out and check, and then give us the results, and then we'll be entering the overpayment information. And this is an experiment. We're going to see how it goes.
Thank you.
I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
So moved by Supervisor Gantz, second by Supervisor Akronis. On the resolution, any discussion? On the resolution, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Resolution carries. Okay, agenda item 11 from Public Works, golf memo to modify capital outlay.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Jim Kupfer, Finance Department, Public Works.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk a little bit about the repurposing some public work capital funds in golf. First item is the 2012 budget for golf included $7,000 to purchase refrigeration equipment in the Petrifying Springs clubhouse. At budget time last year, we had an ice maker that wasn't working, and the first people came in to repair it said it's going to go out. So we put in included it in the budget. And when we had it maintenance later in the year, a different outfit came in and said, I can fix this so it can work for a couple other years. Then they had a freezer from the 50s style freezer go out. And so we would like to just take that $7,000 and spend it not on the ice maker, but on some other food service improvements. That's the first part of it. Second part of it is last year, well, it's been a kind of an ongoing problem with a water line that starts down by the Golf Maintenance Clubhouse. There were two spurs, one going out to the Brightondale Clubhouse, and the other spur going over to by the ballpark. And we thought we'd have to replace all these pipes because they were leaking. It was a $135,000 estimate. Somebody had a real good idea, I think it was the driller, came out and said, instead of digging all that half mile of pipe up, let's just put in two wells, one in each of those locations. It cost $50,000 instead of $135,000. So we'd like to take that $85,000 that's left over, add it to the irrigation fund.
Supervisor Singer.
Can you explain the irrigation fund again?
There's a budget out there for irrigation for 2012 to redo the pipes on the White 18.
So it's in the capital.
It's in the capital, yeah.
Is this for 2013 and you're pushing it forward then, or what?
In 2013, the long-range plan would be to spend money on the blue course for irrigation.
So
we can't spend anything on red.
The answer to your question is in the 2012 budget, there's money for irrigation for the White. So they're just adding these dollars to that project. They want the ability to use it for irrigation.
So you feel that our budgeted amount for irrigation is not going to be enough?
Not sure.
Well, how much is appropriated right now?
I believe it's $400,000 for irrigation. And then another $400,000 the next year for the blue.
Supervisor Rose.
Why are we setting this aside for the loss that we anticipate in operations?
It's capital fund, so we can't use for operations. We can only use it for capital. It's your bonded fund.
So this has already been bonded and we have the money?
Yes.
Correct.
And we're having the people come in to do the actual quotations now for the irrigation on the White, and it could or could not come in at the actual budgeted level. We won't know until those estimates come back, and we haven't started digging anything up on the White course yet.
So if you have a surplus, you're just going to roll it over to the next,
to the next
year.
And it'll be used for the blue. Yeah.
So you mean next year you'd have a less bonding? Is that what you're saying?
Potentially. I mean, if they've got 400 and we put this money on it, and it comes in at 350, you've got 100,000 that you can roll over, and that would mean less bonding the next year to finish the project.
Well, I think then we should, if we're going to do that, add this to, and this is bonded money, and so is the other 400 this year and 400 next year, we ought to specify here that this be used to reduce future bonding.
You don't know if you can do that if this project comes in.
Well,
you have limitation with bonded money, what you can do. It can only be purposed for certain things. I mean, in this case, maybe the golf course, but they're changing the scope of the project that we've approved and saying, can we move it to this line item? So I don't think they can go through and use this for anything other than irrigation.
It's all within the same appropriation level.
For next year as well?
What we can use it for.
Next year as well?
Yeah.
So if it was projected to cost $800,000, what's this extra 84?
Could it reduce it? Next year you could bond $320,000 or whatever that. They'll have a lot better idea because they're going to they're going to be doing it 9 this year.
Move to approve.
Second.
So moved by Supervisor Gantz, second by Supervisor Singer. I think this has been at least reported to the Oversight Committee. Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
This just goes to this committee, and then that's it won't be on the board agenda.
Just for the record, Supervisor Grady arrived at 6:30 during the last item. Okay, it is 6:45. We are on agenda item 12, Public Works, Golf, and Highway. Resolution to approve a transfer of funds within the 2011 Department of Public Works budget.
Okay, in 2011, the Golf Division and the Highway Division both had shortages in their supply appropriations. Golf was $25,000, Highway was $158,000. The largest amount by far in the shortage was in the fuel category, where the 2011 budget was budgeted at approximately $2.40 a gallon. We, our average price that we pay, this is kind of a weighted average of diesel and non-diesel, was $3.33. And there are sufficient funds within the Public Works Contractual Services Appropriation that will cover these two shortages. And we do not need to take any money out of the general funds. So we're requesting that we are allowed to, for the budget modification, move the money to cover the shortages in the supplies.
Supervisor Gantz.
My question would be, and in my previous look at this, I couldn't see it, and I can't see it now. What are you taking from contractual services? What are we not needing there that we had thought we needed to $175,000 or $180,000
for? We had surpluses in the utility budget, in the machinery expense, vehicle maintenance, grounds improvement, and then other professional services, which we sometimes tap into if we need consulting.
That's not the answer to my question. I can appreciate that, and that's good, but we're going to contract something with this $180,000. What were we going to contract that we're not now contracting? Am I clear? Am I?
He, 2011.
We had those were contracted things that we didn't need in those things? Is that what?
Yes.
Okay. So all those things we contracted for in those different areas, and then that we came in under?
Under budget, yeah.
Okay.
All right. I think it's just a definition. In the way we classify expenses, contractual services are things like utilities and...
Okay. I mean, I know that there's a lot of movement within there, but I just wondered if we had said, oh, we need to replace this, and all of a sudden now we're needing to fill this hole, and we keep moving around plugging gaps, and eventually we're going to spring a big leak. It was my only concern.
Yeah, I don't think we didn't do anything that we should have done in those other areas.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
As long as this is an issue, obviously we under budgeted the purchase of the price per gallon. Is the highway department or the parks or golf, are they looking at a substitute energy usage such as natural gas or liquefied natural gas as
for operating the vehicle?
Yes, because from what I understand, that's the big push now in the trucking industry right now, is it's being changed over to that because you can actually save probably 50% on your energy costs. And I just want to know, are you as a department taking a look at that as a cost-saving measure?
In the Highway Department, I would say they're looking at anything they could do. But we have a large fleet of vehicles that we have a lot of money expended in. So in the short term, I don't think the gas prices are going to go down. This year, we budgeted $600,000. In the long term, it would be on the radar screen. Yes.
That would show up more in the capital improvements budgets.
Yes.
With the vehicles that you purchase.
Just a question. We've overspent our appropriation. Is that something that should have been addressed earlier, or is it because of the rolling up that we were okay?
We should have addressed it earlier.
Yeah, this is an overdraft that we caught at this late date. We would have seen it and not brought it.
Is that a failure in our system, or what are we doing to prevent that? Because that's a significant number to be off.
Do you know, Jim, why we didn't see that till this?
Well, I know it was reported at the time of the budget that we would be over in these appropriations. If you want to know the truth, had I known that I needed to put a form like this in, I would have put it in at the time.
My mistake is Jim probably wasn't up to speed as well as he should have been, being a new fiscal person there, on what the ramifications and what we had to do.
So you saw these and reported them, but we didn't bring the resolution.
Correct. So we're clear when we see that happening, we're coming up, there needs to be a budget modification that comes to the committee prior to exceeding the appropriation.
Yes,
crystal.
We're very clear.
Before the last check goes out the door, that puts you over the budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, we knew back, or I knew back, and at budget time that we'd be over on gas because we were already approaching the $400,000 budget in July.
Well, it's fair. As long as the monitoring procedure's there and we understand going forward. Supervisor Gensler.
Do we have in the 2012 budget more realistic numbers as far as fuel?
Yes.
I mean, you comfortable with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We budgeted at a per gallon. The number of gallons usage was in 2012 was expected to be about the same, but we goosed up the price to $3.30-something. And this is, we don't pay all the taxes, so that number might be a little misleading to somebody who's thinking $4 a gallon.
That's fine. I just wanted to make. I happen to agree with the chairman that that's a lot of money to miss by, you know. And I'm not going to blame any. I mean, hey, we're all learning, working together. Not, you know, I'm not as upset about that. But we need to make sure that with future planning that we adjust that. That was one of my questions.
Yes.
Clearly, it wasn't that it wasn't known. It was a matter of knowing the
procedure
right. And that we can't have. We can't exceed the appropriation.
Okay.
Supervisor Singh.
Chairman, bringing that item up, what I just discussed before about the energy usage, I think it's important that the Oversight Committee for the Highway Division take a serious look at that. You're talking about substantial savings by going alternative energy routes in the realm of almost 50%. I mean, you've got major trucking lines that are changing over their whole trucking line because it just costs too much to have diesel. You know, and if we don't start doing it now, it's just going to cost us more. And you might say, well, you know, if we save 50%, that's $300,000. Yeah, but you don't know where energy's going. If energy's going to and we got a budget next year, $800,000, you know, the savings could be $400,000. You know, you're talking substantial dollars. And I think now is the time to be looking at it, and I think it needs to be brought up to the Oversight Committee. Our committee should recommend that they take a serious look at it.
Supervisor Grady, is that your committee?
Yes. If it pleases the committee, I can correspond with our Public Works personnel, Mr. Sosa, and also with Carol O'Neill in purchasing and ask them to look into it if that's your wish, and you
can do that. If that's what's being asked, perhaps you could also communicate that back to Mr. Arbit, this has been brought up at the committee, and it's something that Supervisor Singer thinks the committee should at least explore.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Okay, it's been moved by Supervisor Gantz, seconded by Supervisor Grady. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution carries. Okay, agenda item 13 is 6:54. Public Works and Parks resolution to approve Kenosha County Public Snowmobile Trail.
Okay. I'm John Rudy, the General Manager of Park Operations. This resolution is to accept financial reimbursement from the state of Wisconsin for 77 miles of funded snowmobile trail in Kenosha County. The trail is maintained by the Kenosha County Snowmobile Alliance. I administer the grant through our office. We're basically just a machine to accept the funds and pay out, but I am responsible to monitor their record keeping and their trail signage and submit all the documents to the state. And again, it is a 100% funded in the amount of $19,225 a year. That does cover land acquisition, which is rent payments to property owners for the trail to operate on. It covers the insurance for the trail and the maintenance and grooming.
Supervisor Singer.
Obviously, there's no snow out there today. There hasn't been a lot of snow in the whole season. Are they taking some of the funds and doing other things with them this year, or
no,
what's going on?
I'm not right up to date on what maintenance they've been doing out there now, but typically we've never given any money back to the state. What they usually do is they go out and do grading work, mm-hmm. brushing, and other things that they wouldn't be able
okay.
to
no, that's fair enough. I just, you know, it's a relevant question
yeah.
today.
Yes.
So, you know, and I don't want to see us give money back to the state. I mean, they're good enough at taking it away from us to begin with. So I don't want to give anything back, but I just wanted to know. That came up yep. when I was reading it, and I thought, you know, what is the situation?
Supervisor O'Neill.
These trails are only for snowmobiles?
Yes.
Nothing only else can...
Only snowmobiles.
Move to approve. Second. Moved by Supervisor Gann, second by Supervisor Rose. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Resolution carries. Agenda item 14. It is now 6:57 from Public Works and Parks. Resolution to approve the acceptance of grant funding for the purposes of funding the Pike River Fish yeah. Passage Dam Removal Bridge Installation.
We submitted a grant request to the Greater Milwaukee Foundation Fund for Lake Michigan to help fund the dam removal at Vet Frank Springs Park and replace it with a bridge and restore the stream banks in the immediate vicinity to allow fish passage up the Pike River. The project is in the budget. The current budget for $520,000. The project estimate has increased to $627,000 because of an additional bicycle lane on the bridge that's going to be built. The Pike Lake Michigan notified us that they will be awarding us $234,000 to help with this project. Authorizes me to accept that grant and the budget modified.
Supervisor Singer.
Didn't we get a grant from them, or it was promised to us before? Is this what was promised, or are they giving us an additional?
This is the second one from them.
The second one.
This one was for $103,000 for the design and engineering.
Okay.
Oh, wonderful.
This is the second grant.
So this was not even budgeted for that. We didn't know this $234,000 was coming. We were going to actually.
No, you have no guarantee of that. No, it was not budgeted.
Right.
So that would reduce the $627,000.
By that amount. Okay. And then the budgeted amounts that we obviously had a revenue source in order to do that work in the budget.
Yeah, it was bonded money.
So we will be reducing the amount of bonding?
We're going to use it.
Is that what, David?
Not the bonding, the amount of the cost.
We're going to be reducing the bonding by that amount?
No, we're not. The original budget resolution was 550 was for the bridge. The cost of the bridge has gone up, and then the resolution said if we had any surplus money left from the Pike River, the resolution, I think it's attached there, says that any surplus will be used for highway paving.
Okay. All right.
And that's what was approved. So we're adding this to it. We don't know when you go into reconstruction of a bridge, what you're going to find when you take out that old bridge that's there. So we want to make sure we have sufficient funds, and then any money that's left over will go towards highway paving.
And we have received tentative notice that we are qualified for an additional $30,000 for this project from the state of Wisconsin, but tentatively. And we did throw another line in the waters to sustain our Great Lakes for an additional $150,000. So we're looking everywhere as we can to help with this.
We've already got the check.
Okay. Yeah, good.
I didn't spend it.
You're going to cash it now, right?
Sweet.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Singer. Second by moved by Supervisor. Again, second by Supervisor Singer. Any discussion on the resolution? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Resolution carries. Okay. Agenda item. Item 15 from Public Works and Parks, resolution to approve the Kemper roof repair.
This is a resolution to be able to accept the insurance monies to cover the costs that are going to be incurred by Kemper to repair all the storm damage roofs. The amount is $75,000, and asking to be able to modify the budget to accept the $75,000.
Move to approve.
Second.
And moved by Supervisor Singer, second by Supervisor Eckernes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Resolution carries. It is 7:02. Agenda items, item 16 from Finance, report on golf course audit.
Back in September, four people from the finance division conducted a surprise audit of the cash and cash controls, and we looked at some systems, too, that they've been using, just to make sure that if everything was being properly controlled. I'm not sure when the last time a full audit like this was done, or I think it's been a number of years. There's no provocation or anything that was specifically driving us to do this. It was just, it's good business practice to do these kind of audits from time to time. Mm-hmm. And the audit really focused on a few things, on counting the cash, the security of their cash control procedures, were they using the system properly because we had purchased the Active 12 system a couple years ago. Was it benefit? Was it increasing efficiencies? And they also, we also wanted to focus on whether they were using the proper procedures. They have procedure manuals that have developed over a few years. Again, it was a surprise audit with no real justification for it. The overall results were very positive. I don't know if you want me to go through this report or I could just hit the high points. The assets are being handled properly. There were really no cash shortages to speak of.
There was $53 overage. I don't know what that is, but an overage is certainly a sign of a potential problem. So being over $53 is not a... I think that also says something that maybe potentially you're taking money in and you're not ringing it.
I think we felt that that was an acceptable dollar level for the time that.
What period of time would that have been an overage for?
Since the last time they did a cash count.
Do you cash out like every day and make a deposit? And
yeah, they don't necessarily count all the money that's in the safe every day. When they cash the drawers out, they go through a process of cashing, checking what goes in there, or the amount of cash register
or cash in the safe, all that stuff has to balance.
Cash in a safe, not a drawer. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking register.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good. I'm glad you got that cleared up.
So the cash count was the first part of it. We checked to make sure. Do you need me to go through some of these points? I'll go into as much detail.
I thought it was going to be more than less. My motto.
We investigated to make sure that the safes were locked at all times, and we found that the safes weren't. They were closed. They're back in secure areas. So they have now... Is everybody's in color, right?
Yeah.
You can see the bullet point is what we checked. The dark, it was our comment when we did the audit. And then the red is the staff reply to those comments. So this year they should be locking a safe. And we also changed all the combinations just in case there was anybody out who might have used to work for the golf course that might have known the combination. They've all been changed. Internal control procedures. We checked to make sure that more than one person wasn't operating a drawer. During a busy, when we did the audits in September, it wasn't that busy at the time. One of the locations, they were changing the drawers, but the other times, there was just basically one person working a drawer. And if that person needed a restroom break or had to run outside to do something, somebody might have taken their drawer over. But their policy is to switch drawers if it's real busy or have one person working on the drawer. Then there's comments about their, it's stamping checks. If somebody gets a check, they should stamp it and put it in the register rather than waiting until the end of the day and stamping it. But we don't do a lot of work by checks. More of it comes in at the beginning of the year if someone's buying a pass or maybe for an outing. And then we wanted to make sure that everyone's books were up to date, their cash handling procedures, to make sure that both locations were following the proper procedures and the same procedures. So over the course of the winter, they're supposed to be going through, checking to make sure that all of these books, we now have some people starting to come back, so they'll be able to make sure that these books are all up to date before they open up for the new season. And we were really wanted to make sure that the amount of money that the county invested in this new active golf system was spent appropriately and that there's some benefits coming out of it. And they do use the system, and I've worked with some retail systems in the past, and the active golf system is a pretty good retail system. In fact, I think it's very good. And they are starting to use the functions of this as far as keeping track of what margins they make on products. And they kind of have a benchmark, and the system will tell them whether the sales minus the cost of sales for various items is good enough if they're making money off of it, and if not, then they should get rid of that item. They also can monitor their inventory at pieces level, what they have versus what they sold, to see if items are moving. There's a lot of good benefits to a system like this, and I think it's helping them control their inventory and monitor their cash too. There's daily cash reports. Every time they pull a drawer, it tells them what they're supposed to be doing. So it's a pretty impressive system. I think it'll get better too. It's a work in process. So I think I can say that it was a very good investment on the county's part.
Any discussion?
I appreciate the report, especially how it was laid out in the color coding, basically. So it was easy to read and easy to understand.
Thank you.
Move to receive and file this report.
Then moved by Supervisor Guest to receive and file, second by Supervisor Ekernis. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Agenda item 17 at 7:09 from personnel, resolution to reauthorize self-insurance.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Jim Olson with the Division of Personnel, Risk Management. You have before you a resolution that essentially comes up every 3 years. It's required by the state of Wisconsin that we reaffirm our wishes to continue our status as self-insured with regards to workers' compensation. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this since 1975. I recommend that we continue doing it. The other option would be to go into the private insurance market, lose the controls we have over being self-insured, and also be subject to the, you know, the overhead and profits of private insurance.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Singer, second by Supervisor Rose. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution carries. Agenda item 19 from personnel.
Yeah, I move to postpone this.
Okay, let me read it into the record once everybody's ready. Are we all ready? Okay, to 710, agenda item 18, resolution to approve a reclassification of a stock room position to a shop operator for the Department of Public Works, Division of Highways.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. County is proposing a request by the Division of Highways for stock person position left vacant by retirement be reclassified to a top operator position. It is viewed by the Division of Highways and the Department of Public Works as a great opportunity to get a second person in to modernize in a particular preventive maintenance program through computerization, a variety of other things that's outlined in the memo that I've attached from Mr. Sipsma. This was reported without objection to the committee last night, and the increase of $5,311 required to make this reclassification will be absorbed by the division's budget.
Any discussion?
Move to approve.
It's been moved by Supervisor Gantz, second by Supervisor Grady. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution carries. It is 7:12, agenda item number 19 from personnel. Resolution to approve a reclassification of office support worker to an office associate for the Sheriff's Department.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In 1996, the David M. Rithmuth and Associates Company came into Kenosha County and analyzed all of our clerical positions, reestablished the wage classification schedule into the one that we are currently using today. Within the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department, there was a job identified as an office support worker, which was held by someone who was grandfathered to office associate status. That was a recognition offered by the county to employees so that there would be no wage detriment to those who had their jobs reclassified to a lower class. The promise, however, was that when that employee retired or left the job, the Griffith classification would be the job that was offered and budgeted for. The office associate in the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department has retired, and so we are faced with an office support worker through the reclassification agreement. However, the job has grown in the past 16 years to office associate status. I have attached both job descriptions to the memo and the resolution, and we are requesting tonight that you change the agreement with Griffith for this job only and post this job as an office associate position because it was thrown to that level. It is budgeted in the 2012 budget as an office associate position because the individual retired after the position had been budgeted.
How much is the difference?
About $1 an hour.
What's the differences in the position? Briefly, differences in the roles.
One is a light clerical position and one requires more responsibility. The identification of the differences is one in the I can read them in the record if you want.
I just wanted a quick
more sophisticated clerk.
Move approval.
Second.
So I move by Supervisor Eckert and second by Supervisor Gantz. Is there any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution carries. It is now 7:15. Agenda item 20. Review and approval of special assignment pay request for the Department of Human Services Division of Workforce Development Child Support Attorney position.
A year ago, the committee voted to extend to county employee Debbie Zerobe a special assignment wage at an additional $2,500 over 26 pay periods or 1 year, because Ms. Zerobe had attained her JD and was an attorney, or continues to be an attorney. And so in her position within child support, she is used instead of contracting out attorneys. And so Ms. Roby is, in fact, our contracting attorney for those times when the volume of work is too cumbersome for the two child support attorneys that are retained by Kenosha County, or when special things come up. And he's been a very successful and cost-effective way of assuring that our operation is consistent and well-managed when we do need an extra attorney. And so we are proposing that the committee renew the special assignment pay to Ms. Zerobe so that we can continue this practice. It comes out of the money budgeted for contracted legal work.
Move approval.
Second.
And moved by Supervisor Rose, second by Supervisor Singer. Supervisor Gintz.
One quick question. Obviously, it has worked, and there is no issue with it, but how much did we used to spend just for my...
About $5,000.
We used to spend $5,000, or just...
We're here $2,500, and because we're not contracting out, there will be a small balance at the end of contract. $5,000 is a lot of money.
Okay. I didn't read it right.
Any other discussion?
Sorry.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Resolution carries.
Aye. I was still thinking.
Audit of the bills. We have to pass something around to sign. I just got a question, and you can maybe answer. Is there a project going on at the detention center or something budgeted for the detention center? I see architectural money for the detention center.
I know that there was a building.
Mm-hmm.
Storage building?
There's a couple of projects going on. They had one that had to do with the pipes. The pipes broke. I don't know what bill that specifically is for. They're doing something with the doors at the detention center and fixing up the approaches, so that might have had something to do with it.
It's $7,000. So if you could report by email as to what we are engaging architect for.
What's the name of the
architect? Cooney Architects.
So we all received that email, Mr. Chairman.
That says the detention center. Yes, I said if it gets emailed to the committee.
I think it's the doors, but I'll be sure.
That's a lot of money for doors.
Yeah, the building wasn't supposed to start happening unless there was a surplus later in the year, right?
Correct. Okay, so we are on agenda item 22. It is 7:18. Report from the finance director, budget manager, personnel director.
We have Bob there first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Jerry.
I want to inform the committee of something that we did when we brought new employees into the highway division. You'll recall that last year we used express employees, employees that were actually hired by and paid by and benefited by the express employment agency. They were being paid at the time $18 an hour and received health benefits, vacation, and a variety of other benefits. The board took action to fund 14 additional jobs for the highway division during the budget. And so we immediately took action to hire those 14 positions, including the 8 people that had worked for us the year earlier through the express program. And in recognition of the fact that they took a $3 cut and were entering county employment without benefits, we decided to pay them for Christmas and New Year's as kind of an act of good faith. And Dave and I and Alan discussed and thought it was appropriate that we would report that to you under normal circumstances and for the new employees that not get those benefits until the 91st day. But had we waited 2 weeks, they would have gotten paid through the express company anyway, and so we decided to recognize it that way. Did you want to be specific on what you wanted me to talk about?
Just the payroll deductions. There was a letter that was sent out.
A letter was sent out by John Dillon, and John is the business representative for the Kenosha County Deputy Sheriff's Association. And I preface what I'm going to say by saying that Corporation Counsel has recommended that what I say be very kind of surface-oriented, because if we get too deep into this, it really should be agenda. But part of the letter indicated that the county, when it established the high deductible health plan for the Deputy Sheriff's Association, took an additional act of vindication, for lack of a better description, described by John, when it required the employees to set up their own HSAs. And chairman of the committee, and along with the chairman of the board, contacted me both today, and would like to have an explanation as to why the county did not set up the HSAs for the employees. With the number of employees that were affected by the alternative health insurance, two things are important. First thing is that our consultant had identified for us through her analysis that our costs of establishing HSAs for those employees cost more than the savings that we could attain through FICA and Medicare savings. Secondly, our administrative costs, and that would be the payroll management end of this, running through Dave's division, would have added to that cost. And finally, there is a management component to the eligibility of folks who are enrolled in an HSA. In short, spouses cannot have access to another plan which is not a high deductible plan and still access our plan. And so the management of that would have caused an additional and potential financial burden on the county. Analyzing all three of those things, deferring that those responsibilities to an individually contract HSA provider was in the best interest of Kenosha County. And I want to hasten to point out that the tax advantages associated with the high deductible plan are still available to those employees. It just comes at the end rather than at the beginning. So that was the thought rationale behind that. And the entire organization gone over to the high deductible plan, I'm sure we would have looked at it differently. But for that individual group, it was just better for all concerned that they be managed individually.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes.
When you say cost savings,
okay, we're not going to discuss that. There's a letter. If you want to get a copy of the letter, I can have it circulated. I just want it reported because you may hear something from different people, and I just wanted the committee to be aware of it. I was also concerned about open meetings that we weren't going to violate, so if it just came out in the form of a report, if that's okay, if you could just forward that letter to the committee members so they're aware of it.
I'm formulating a response to Chairman Molinaro, who's okay. Requesting one. So I'll have that run through Corporation Counsel for appropriateness. Dave will review it because Dave has been in on the entire management of that as well.
I'll look at the forthcoming document.
We'll be happy to send it. I'll send that response.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Continuing on.
Bob, are you complete?
I am.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll turn the reporting over to the finance part of it then. And I think, Al, would you like to begin with Lori?
I was going to have Lori report on the Human Services report.
Lori, thank you.
In your packet, I think you received our report.
It was on the desk tonight.
Oh, it's on
the packet's on the desk. If you want to take a second and let them find the report.
Sorry, it's like this one.
Oh, Human Services report. Everybody find the report.
This is the kind of thing we should receive ahead of time, really.
Yes.
I agree. Continuing.
Oh, okay. So we just filled in the last column for 1231. So right now for aging and disability services, they are showing an excess of 250,000, set as levy savings of 250,000. And again, this report is prior to any kind of year-end insurance adjustments that you're seeing. You'll see, I think, on the county report that Al gave. And the detail, their detail, how we arrived at that is on page 2, and it's really the institute savings have offset the residential. So we've stayed away from the higher placement savings, and we're using the lower cost residential placements for that. Then Brookside Care Center, when I was here for the September report, when we were here at budget time, we were telling you that there was going to be a Medicare rate increase October 1st. And yes, that did happen. And we based the $237,000 deficit that you're seeing on September 30th on the patient mix that was current for the first 8 months at Brookside. We're very pleased to present this as a break-even point at this point for 1231 for Brookside. I've never been able to say that at this juncture of the year, so I'm very happy to bring that for you. And it was just we have just like a perfect storm coming together that is actually coming into our favor. We have a software program that is really helping us out a lot. We've changed softwares a year ago. And then we have a teamwork put together between our admissions coordinator, our MDS coordinators, and our nursing staff and business office to, when a new patient presents themselves at Brookside, to be entered, to come into the facility, all of those four assets are looked at. And we're making sure that, yes, we can afford them, and yes, we can give them the proper care in our facility. So the last 3 months have really proved that well, and we did avoid any kind of high cost that we were not going to get, any kind of high cost patients that we were not going to get totally reimbursed for. On page, I think it starts on pages 3, 4, 5 is the financial report for 1231 for Brookside. And on page 6 is the census report, which is the new report that we started last year. So maybe if I can jump to that, I can show you our census mix, how we ended up.
So will we be able to just, in a nutshell, where's Brookside going to end? Bottom line.
Right now we're at a break even. I mean, we're just like a plus 40,000 at this point until we have the insurance adjustment.
Any idea what that insurance adjustment is going to be?
I'll get to that.
Okay, thank you.
On page 6, then, you can see that for Medicare, we had a budget of 29 average daily census. That's the very first line under the column totals. And then we ended the year-to-date average down below at 28.8, so we came very, very, very close. And our revenue was 19.3% more, or approximately 900,000 more. For Medicaid, we were trying to keep at 85, and we did go over. A year-to-date average was 91.2. So we did increase our revenue there because it went over that census. Private pay was 38 budgeted. We ended the year at 31.2, so we were short on the private pay revenue. But overall, we are 4.6% more on our revenue, and we are at a 99.5% occupancy rate, which is very, very good. And what I did down below is, just below that gray line, I did put in our 2012 budget so that you could just see what we're budgeting. For Medicare this year, we ended the year at 28.8, and we just went to 29.5 during our budget process. For Medicaid, we were at 85 for the census, and we are budgeted this year at 92.5, but we had year-to-date at 91.2. So we are expecting a little bit higher Medicaid. And then the private pay, we ended at the average 31.2, and we did lower that in our budget this year, 29. So we're on track. We're on track. Really good. Yeah.
Very good.
So then back to the summary page on the front, Children and Family Services. We had $1 million for placement savings again, and we are, we had more days of care, but in lower cost placements. So we were saving on days of care in our higher cost placements. And our average daily rate that we budgeted came in, the budget was higher than what we actually had experience with in 2011. Then health, we are showing about a $98,000 levy savings there, and that's really due to a lot of the vacancy allowances that have happened during the year. So we're ending the year just shy of $1.3 million for levy savings.
Supervisor Grady.
Looking at the trend of the private pay, it appears to be going steadily down. Mm-hmm. How do you count on the common viability of that, or the forces we can get at? Just give us some background.
Yeah, we have, that's why we're lowering our budget for that. That was one of the reasons why we lowered our budget. But we're noticing the private pay, as our rates are increasing, their money is being, used up quicker. So we used to have 35, 36, but then our rates were 220 to 30 to 40 a day. Now it's, up to the 290, so they're going to go through their money a lot quicker. And again, we're actually pushing more towards the Medicare end, because that is what's helping our bottom line. We're not targeting the private pay.
You expect that to continue just as a market force or market dynamic?
I don't know if I'm the right one to say that. I know our admissions coordinator is working to keep the private pay on budget as much as possible, but she is trying to get the Medicare getting over that budget. So that is her focus at this point. And I, if you need any more details, I'm going to get afraid to send you.
We just want to further follow up. Daily reimbursement between Medicare and private pay, what's the differential approximately?
Medicare, if you look on the front, on page...
Page 5.
Oh, you don't have the summary. We actually have about a... it's about a 530 a day reimbursement average on Medicare, if I'm remembering it correctly. As opposed to the 290.
That's my question.
Yeah. Thank you.
Supervisor
Gaines. I really want to say that Brookside has done a very good job since I've been a supervisor at turning around. I can remember sitting on the Human Services Committee and having Terry Rose look over and say, we got to run this a little more like a business. And I think that you guys have done a very good job.
Yes, so. They have done that. We're really trying. The teamwork is really being developed over there. I'm very impressed.
So that's the Human Services report.
It's a good report, right?
Yes,
very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When you come in with savings, you really don't need to ask. That's a good report.
We're just stoic.
I don't know. The timing was just right.
Why long is it here? There was a letter in your file that we wanted to point out.
Oh, yes.
A little mistake we found in the budget when we went through the FTE. When they did the reorganization for the health department, the FTE count was right, it was budgeted right, but the summary sheet was incorrect, and we wanted to get up a memo. We just wanted to inform the committee that we found that mistake, and we don't want anybody to think that we were hiring somebody that we weren't authorized on the committee, and knowing that we found that mistake. Mm-hmm. We're asking for it, but the committee to make the committee aware that we found that.
Yeah, we didn't edit close enough.
Yeah, we didn't edit close enough. But
sound fun.
Okay.
Before I hand out the general fund report, I just wanted to mention that the minutes also were on your desk, but they're not agenda, so we won't resend them out. We'll just ask for the approval at the next meeting.
I just want to make a comment on the minutes. I think the minutes are supposed to reference the times.
Yes.
And they don't do that?
One of the sets of minutes, the December set of minutes, was inadvertently, the tape was inadvertently deleted before the minutes were edited, and we pulled it back on January 1.
Okay. And then the other thing in the one of the meetings, the December 1st meeting, there's no time that it adjourned. And I just, again, times are important, and especially that when they're going to go back and take a look at this.
Yeah, I didn't have it in the notes, and that's the one that was inadvertently deleted when they went to transfer it over. So
okay.
That's one of the. We'll put the approval on the next committee agenda unless you want to approve on the buyer reports, but I that we get it off there.
Yep.
Next is the general fund report. Supervisor Gantz, the reason I wait for the process is how we have been sent us updating it up until the last minute.
I'm glad you point that out to me, because you know I'll get all in a bunch. Yeah.
He cooks the numbers right up to the meeting.
Although there's not a big significant change since January, we'll probably start seeing some change as we go through closing the books. I think the number one update is the sheriff's revenue went down a little bit. It's probably a couple $100,000 down from what we projected initially. Sales tax went down by $100,000. On the other end, human services, I have it up to 1.1 million. Glory recorder 1.3, but some of that is included in the vacancy adjustment, so I don't want to double count it. As you can see, based on the committee's action from in January, the $500,000 is on there coming from the health insurance reserves. The health insurance deficit stayed the same at $2.8 million. We're still waiting for the IBNR and some additional entries to be made, but they really won't affect the department's budgets because we did that resolution last month, and we're basically holding them harmless. We will move the budgeted overages to the department along with the levy or whatever, with the surpluses that we have to adjust as part of that resolution. So a department will not get a significant deficit in their budget because of health insurance, because of the action we took with that resolution. But we're basically looking at going from 7.7 to 8.1. I expect a little overages and shortages in departments that we should be able to increase this by a few $100,000 when we finally close it. Final piece of my report is I just want to make the committee aware we are putting out an RFP to look at, and probably Bob and Diane worked on it heavily with finance and purchasing, to look at possibly using employment services for the temporary employees or the seasonal employees out at the golf course. Did it hit the street yet?
We did it
went out last Friday, but I want the committee to be aware of that. We don't know if we'll get significant cost savings or not, but we really wanted to look at it because we pay out substantial amount of overtime unemployment with those seasonals, and it was very important after we used Express for the highway department to look at it for our seasonal employees. Whether they'll come in and be cost effective, we don't know, but we put that on the street and see what it brings back to the company.
So you're putting an RFP out to multiple employment agencies
to see if there's any cost benefit in using the employment agencies to do those for those employees. It's another way we're looking at reducing the costs out of the golf course, and whether it comes to fruition or not, we'll soon get those back in a week or two and do the analysis. But I wanted the committee, in case they hear it from some of the employees, that it most likely that the employment agency will hire those employees on, most of those employees, so it's not like we're looking for different employees. We're just looking for another mechanism, and maybe they can get better benefits by going through the employment agency. We can reduce our exposure on workers' comp and our unemployment.
Okay.
I just wanted to leave them in the neighborhood. That's all there.
Anything
that
else?
That concludes my report. So Dave, anything else?
Well, I just want to say thank you to everyone for the support that you all gave with the my mother passed away. It was wonderful, and everyone at the county was words can't express how wonderful it was. So thank you very much.
Anything else? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
moved by Supervisor Kemp, second by Supervisor Day. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned. It is now 8:42.
You were.
7:40.
He favors you all the time.
Who was the kid's
job? Those two.
If our meeting is March 15th, I'd be at a